flat to dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Yep, that's how I like to start off a good Monday night, especially after the shenanigans and the heck fire that we went through down in Everglades City over this past weekend. I think that was a bomb going off, Rob. Was that what that was, a bomb going off?
Yep, sir.
Yeah, well, it's what I feel like has happened inside my head. I am the host of the Monday Night Show. Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Rob DeVore here helping me out tonight. What's going on, brother?
Yo, good.
Yo.
I don't feel so bad, man. I tell you what, when I came back in on Saturday, I wanted to roll out of my kayak too, like Russ and his team did.
Yeah.
But, dude, I feel good today. I could go do it again. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, I might need to start eating vegetables if that's the case, because I feel like I've been hit by a Mack. Yeah, I feel like I've been hit by a Mack truck. So I don't think that had anything to do with the fact that Friday night and Saturday night I was I was feeling pretty good. So, goodness gracious. Anyway.
Got to screen some calls.
Yeah, do that, brother. So, real quick, the tonight's show is brought to you in part by, I should say, Jackson Kayak, Bending Branches Paddles, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs. Captain Mike Ortego is the man. If it wasn't for Captain Mike, we wouldn't have been able to do what we did this past weekend, which is go down and have a great time, along with Steve Chapman and Boudreaux from Fishing Florida Radio. Also, their support was greatly appreciated. We had a good time down there, and again, couldn't do it without you guys. Chip Gibson, of course, the tree hugger, hooked it up for us as well. Slayer Inc. Lures, yakangler.com, and, of course, the unofficial beverage of my show is Jack Daniels. And I had an opportunity to speak with one of the guys that got to put on the Adventure Fishing World Championship, John Grace, and John let me know that he is friends with the owners of Jack Daniels. So me and John became buddies quick. really? That's that person's name? No idea. Good stuff. But there you go. Poor couple of them. Woody Calloway, dude, knocked it out of the park. The Adventure Fishing World Championship was by far. All right, Rob, that's going to get old real quick. settle down there, Chief. The Adventure Fishing World Championship was by far the coolest tournament I've ever been a part of. Whether that be offshore fishing, inshore fishing, boat fishing, kayak fishing, doesn't matter. It was an extravaganza like none other. It definitely was not for the faint of heart. Me and the guys, me and my partner Pepe and or Jose Vidal, Alan Ryland, and Captain Alex Gorichki, I think is how you pronounce his last name. I can never get it right. We all rode down to Everglades City together, and let's just back up real quick. So, we leave Brevard County on Thursday. Thursday. And we're like, all right, cool. We should get in town relatively early and get settled in, go hang out with people, whatever. Well, about the time we crossed past Okeechobee, we lost a tire on the trailer as far as it, blowing. And we didn't realize it until some time later after it had been, you know, shredded to pieces and rolling around on a rim, when I thought I heard what sounded like bearings going bad, and turned out that was the sound of the rim itself running across the pavement. So that wasn't good. We stopped and changed that out for the spare that Captain Alex had, and we literally got about 100 yards from where we put the spare on before it fell off the rim. So that was fun. And by now it's dark, you know, it's dark as dark can get. We're in the middle of nowhere. So Pepe and I leave Alan and Alex with the trailer on some like dark, desolate road. Pretty sure I heard banjos as we were pulling away. So we just hope for the best. I left them with a knife in case they needed to shank anybody. But and then me and Pepe ran over to Walmart and got new tires for the trailer. Came back, put said tires on trailer, left, and got back on our way. We pulled into Everglades City around 10 o'clock, 10:30 on Thursday night. And let me tell you something. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If for those of you who have never been down to Everglades City or Chokoloskee, that place goes to sleep at like 8. I mean, there ain't a soul around except for at the one bar, the Oyster Bar, whatever, Oyster House Bar, whatever it was. And it was dead quiet, very, like, kind of creepy. And so we were like, well, what are we going to do? Like, we're all jacked up. We just got here all excited. And have nothing really to do. And, yeah, it kind of looked like that. So we just hung out, man. Hung out, smoked a couple of Pepe's fine Cuban cigars, and, you know, had a good time. And so, well, all right, dude, really? Rob, I'm about to kill you, man. So we... woke up Friday morning. Game plan was, so let's just go and have a great time. Let's just go fish and just have a good time. Doesn't make sense to try and pre-fish for this particular tournament because nobody has any clue where in the world we're fishing. I mean, we just did not know. So, we get over to the launch, see some familiar faces, head off and go in search of fish. So Friday was pretty banner for myself and for Pepe for catching fish. We caught a lot of fish, including a slam and some other stuff. And we had 9 species between the two of us that we caught. And I probably caught, I don't know, 25 or 30 fish total for the day, which was pretty good. And, you know, Alan and Alex didn't fare so well. They caught some fish, but it wasn't like a banner day or nothing. So, you know, of course, me being me, you know, I like to kind of boast a little bit when I'm on it, and it turned around and bite me in the butt as the next day proved to be much, much more difficult for myself and Pepe. We caught what should have been a a legal fish to keep, which we could have for the tournament, but we didn't know that you can keep silver trout or sugar trout or whatever the heck kind of trout it was. And so, you know, it turned out to be the thorn in our back that we didn't know that because when we got back into the weigh-in, we asked, and yeah, we could have kept it to measure it. So we caught fish at 2 out of the 4 checkpoints we went to. Judging by the inches that we would have had with that fish plus the fish we had caught, we could have had really close to a 10th place finish. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. We had a great time. And, you know, it was awesome to see our boys, Alan and Alex, finish in the top 10. And we had who else did we have that finished in the top 10? Justin, how could I forget Justin? Justin and Nick finished 4th from our Space Coast Kayaking group, and we had Vicky Saley and Mark Nemowitz. They placed, I think they were sixth. So that was another tandem off of our club group, which was pretty cool. Mad props to a couple other folks that also fished from the Central Florida area. I think the Central Florida took 5 out of 10 positions in the top 10. So that was pretty awesome. You know, we paddled probably close to 30 some odd miles. I tried to figure it out. I was close to 38 miles, I think, for the 2 days we were down there. And, you know, that was quite an interesting paddle, would you say, Rob? The second day there, Saturday?
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was, me and Gene figured it out. We did 18.5 miles.
Yeah.
On Saturday alone. That was Saturday. We didn't pre-fish on Friday or Thursday or anything like that. That was 18.5 one day.
Yeah, nuts, man. I know we did. My group, we did over 20 the day of the tournament, and I don't even know how. I mean, the coolest part about this tournament was it really just pushed you to have to just dig down deep and just do it. You know, I mean, you didn't really have a chance to say, nah, man, let's not go that way. I mean, you had to go that way, or let's find a shortcut. There might not have been a shortcut. So, or those that tried to find shortcuts got lost, got turned around and whatever. So, you know, it was definitely tough. Alan, I see he's on the line. Hey there, brother.
Yeah, what's up, man? I'm here.
Cool. Well, first off, man, congratulations for finishing in the top 10, man. That was awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and, you know, Alan and Alex and me and Pepe kind of stayed near each other the whole day, just because we enjoy our company while we're out there fishing, and we like to crack on each other. So, and quite frankly, if it wasn't for those two guys, I don't think that Pepe and I would have made as many checkpoints as we did, because they kind of pushed both myself and Pepe to keep going when we wanted to kind of maybe go a different direction for Pepe's sake, pushing that barge of his, that Diablo. So I think, what would you say, Alan, like after the first checkpoint, almost to the second one, I think Pepe started to realize that this sucked.
Yeah, probably. I think it was between the second and third, though, that long stretch on those two outer islands from checkpoint to checkpoint, that was you know, and what, a 15, 20 mile an hour headwind, dude, that was brutal. And that was tough for everybody. But yeah, I can imagine, you know, on his side, it was pretty bad.
I turned around to look for him like once, and almost fell in the water doing it. And finally, I saw him back there, and he just—I mean, the guy is an animal, man. To be able to paddle that Diablo as far as he paddled it in one day. In fact, he told me today he called Thomas from Diablo, and Thomas was like, "You paddled how far?" And yeah, so I know Pepe asked him when he's going to develop a boat with some pedals, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime in the near future, if ever. But that was an interesting tournament as far as where the checkpoints were all located. I found it interesting that most of the checkpoints were out in the open, and as far as like out in the open water, as opposed to back up in the mangrove, like chutes and whatnot like that. So, which is where we spent most of our time on Friday, was like in the jungle, so to speak, and going down class 2 rapids and jumping over logs and running into trees and going underneath what looked like an old school car wash thing with mangrove chutes hanging down full of barnacles. And yeah, it was Friday. I don't know what in the world we were thinking, but you know, I didn't talk to a single person that didn't have a good time down there, which, you know, you're always going to have your sour pusses. It doesn't matter where you're at, what kind of tournament you're fishing. There's always going to be those people that are going to have something negative to say or complain about something. And, you know, honestly, even though we didn't place at all, and that's no fault of anyone's but our own, this was for sure the most awesome thing I've ever been a part of as far as kayaking is concerned, with the exception of maybe a boondoggle. What are your thoughts, Alan, now looking back, reflecting on it? What are you thinking about it? I know that you don't do a whole lot of tournament fishing, but you know, what were your initial thoughts when we got down there and you saw the grandeur of what we were dealing with, and then when you opened up that map, what were your first thoughts?
Well, I don't want to say what my first words to mind were over the radio, but you know, there was a couple of whatever you call it, expletives, whatever, that came out of my mouth. And you know, Alex was, you know, he seemed good with it. I mean, we'd actually, I think, been near, I think, at least one checkpoint, just, you know, what little bit of fishing we get around. But, you know, so I think that helped a little bit. But, no, it was just, I mean, just the whole experience. I mean, just, you know, being down there, the drive down, the tournament. I mean, it just, you know, too much to say about the whole thing. It was run excellent. I mean, those guys, William and those guys, it just, I mean, for doing that for the first time, the first one ever, you know, it's flawless. I mean, I didn't see any confusion, no problems, no glitches. It just, you know, just made for a great time. I mean, it just, you know, no complaints. I do have to thank you. I think what got me through it about halfway through it was when we started busting out with the Disney movie theme songs, you know, the whole new world. You know, I think we sang that going from checkpoint to two to three. You know, I got to thank you. That got me through it. Those Disney songs just pep me up. So,
Alan, you know, I'm always there for my boys, and you know, no matter what I got to do to you know, get the morale going, if it's singing Disney melodies, Disney classics. I mean, you know, I'm all about it, man. I'm not scared.
It took my mind off the pain. I don't think I was feeling my arms halfway through that that long paddle on the outside. So those Disney tunes got me through. So
the Disney,
you know,
tunes.
You know, it was either sing or start crying. So good choice.
Yeah, I didn't want to cry in front of you guys. That's why I paddled my butt off to get so far out in front of you, so you wouldn't see the tears flowing.
Yeah.
And then the kicker, the worst part about that is you sit there and you're paddling so hard, and like you're kind of proud of yourself for trying to really get out in front of everybody and do whatever. And then here comes some dude with pedals and he just zips right past you like you're sitting still. And it's like, God, life sucks right now.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'd have done anything for a set of pedals at that point. But, yeah, it was interesting. One of the things I wanted to bring up real quick about this tournament was the fact that it was open to anybody who wanted to fish it, first and foremost, which was pretty cool because, you know, there's other tournaments out there that are run by specific manufacturers like Hobie or whatever, the World Championship by Hobie. And Hobie, you know, they pick their own guys to fish it, and they send them all around the world to do it, and that's cool. And, you know, it's awesome. But this one was put on by Native Watercraft and a few other sponsors. And the idea that they allowed us all to come in and compete against each other was pretty awesome. In fact, I don't think a Native boat was in the top three at the end. So, you know, that's just, that's, you know, not, it's not that it's an interesting point. It's just, it just goes to show you that there was just so many, such a variety of boats out there fishing. I mean, obviously probably one of the hardest choices that Pepe probably had to make was whether or not he was going to fish out of his sponsored boat or not. And Pepe's on the line now. And dude, we talked about this for like hours afterwards and beforehand. Like after Friday, what were you thinking about having your Diablo with you?
Oh my God, man. It's just, I knew it was going to be rough, but after that, man, especially when we were going through those rapids that we were going through. And, oh, yeah, man, I would have killed for a set of pedals, man, on Saturday, man, when I saw those two Hobie guys pass by us. like yeah. nothing. They're both with a smile on their face. Both
right.
are coming by with a smile on their face, and I'm just looking at them like, man, I just wanted to say something.
Hey, dude, listen. It's a mile and a half from Sandfly Pass to the bridge, okay? Where
yeah.
That's where me and Gene ended up coming out. And we were pretty much wasted by then. I mean, we were pretty beat because we were going to take a shortcut and it turned into a dead end. So we had to paddle our way up current and out of there again. And by the time we did that, we were pretty beat. You know, it was about 4 o'clock, and we got to the end of the Sandfly Pass there. You know, looking out over Chokoloskee Bay, and it's white caps. And 20-mile-an-hour wind coming from the left, you know. And it was like, oh, my God, I got to do this. Well, we got to the bridge, and we're under the bridge, and these guys and a Native Mariner and a Hobie, I don't know what kind of Hobie he had, come flying by. I mean, they were huffing it, dude. They were standing on those pedals like nobody's business. And the guy says to me, we got 7 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, you got good fish? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, go, man. You can make it. And those were the guys that checked in with 8 seconds to go.
Yeah, yeah, that was crazy. That was
and the place, and too, didn't they get like fourth or fifth place or something?
Yeah, I think
they got
did.
Second place.
Second place. Where they said no, they weren't second.
They got.
No,
I think they
were,
got five trout or something like that. Didn't they get like four trout?
No, I think
like
they
that?
Were. Four, I think they were in fourth. No, they were in third place. No, they were in fifth place. I think.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah they were like fifth or something. Fifth or sixth.
Dude, I have never seen anything like that. I don't know how I made it across Chokoloskee Bay because I was absolutely just wasted by that point. And we had to dig deep and do it, man. It was not, I couldn't imagine. You must have, if you look back at Pepe coming, if you guys came across Chokoloskee Bay like we did, you must have just seen him sitting in a seat with like a cigar hanging out of his face, man. Because I had like, I had 2 foot waves coming over my kayak the whole way, man.
Oh yeah. Well,
put it this way, there was no way I was pulling a cigar out while we were paddling through that stuff because it was crazy. I was taking waves over the side. It just hit me on my side. I was paddling cracking up because I just could not believe what we were going through.
Yeah. I couldn't either, man. Jean was laughing. She's like she's laughing and I'm like, what is she laughing at, man? I'm like hoping we get across.
Yeah,
well, I hope I get across the bay, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When we cleared the islands and we looked out across the bay towards the bridge, and I was just like, oh, this is going to just suck. And there's nothing you can do but just point the nose towards the bridge and just go. And just keep going until you can't go anymore. And, I didn't even realize I checked out. Like I feel bad. I like left all my boys behind and just like got out of there, man. But I was in the CUDA. I took 20 at least waves right across my lap. And I mean, I was soaked. I was miserable. And I'm thinking to myself the whole way, like, you know, while this sucks for me, I know for a fact that my boy Pepe back there is getting owned by this wave, by these waves and by the wind, you know. And I turned around one time to look back at Pepe, and I felt like gravity grab my head and like want to pull me underwater. And so I just snapped my head back around and just kept on going. But it was definitely challenging. And that wasn't the only place where it was rough like that. Coming back from the double checkpoint all the way out by the Gulf, coming just across that small bay there was incredible, because if you turn the boat just so, then you could ride it like surf it almost. And I think the difference between my kayak and the other guys was the fact that I had a rudder. So I was able to kind of steer myself a little bit better without having to, you know, overcompensate with my paddle, which might have helped me paddle a little bit faster. But, dude, at one point it was like survival mode, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you guys were like, you were right behind us when we left the double checkpoint and going across that open water, and the wind was pushing so far from the left, and it's hitting that Tupperware box that I got in the back of the kayak, and it was pushing me, my nose, the bow of my boat to the left, okay? So all I could do is paddle on the left side and then rudder on the right once in a while, but then that would, like, kill all my speed, and then I'd have to, you know, and I was just, like, paddling as hard as I could on the left side of the kayak all the way across that little bay there, man. I was really beat, man.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
I don't know how Pepe did it on that so low to the water like that, man.
The guy's an animal.
I did it, man. But I'll tell you what, Thomas, when I spoke to him today, the owner of Diablo, when I called him up and I told him what I did, he freaked out. He really did. He could not believe that I actually went through all that stuff in the Diablo, because he said, he told me, he goes, I've never heard of anybody taking the Diablo for that kind of a paddle before.
But, dude, I'm telling you, from those two guys, the guy in the Mariner and the Hobie that passed us up going back to the checkpoint that checked in with 8 seconds, those guys, they were coming from the south. They were coming from, like, almost like Chokoloski Island there, that direction. So they were going, like, right head on into it, man, and they still got back. I don't know how they had enough gas to do that after paddling all that, man. That was dumb. It was amazing.
What was really cool to see was, here we have basically a who's who's list of kayakers who came out to fish this event, truly. I mean, there were some dudes that were in this tournament that are just straight legit. Like, the guys who won, Mike McDonald and Billy Alstrom, to say that they beat everybody is an understatement. They flat wore it out, man.
They hit all five checkpoints, and they had good fish. It wasn't like they were turning in a dink trout or something, you know.
No, they had 152 total inches of fish.
Their
first checkpoint, they had a 17-inch, I think a 17-inch sea trout, or no, a 17-inch redfish. They had a 27.5-inch snook at the second one. They had a 25-inch redfish at the third one. They had a 25-inch redfish at the fourth one. And they had a 28.5-inch snook at a double.
They caught one of the snooks. Remember the snook? They caught it right next to us.
Literally right next to us.
First checkpoint.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, first checkpoint.
But real quick, I wanted to go down the list. 16 of the 33, I believe, teams that fished it brought in the required three fish from at least three checkpoints. And we'll run down that list real quick. Obviously, as I just said, placing first team fishing the flats, Mike McDonald and Billy Alstrom. And then second place was... brothers-in-law, I guess is what they call themselves, Craig Dye and Tyler Bean. Those guys had 92 inches of fish, which was still pretty really impressive. Team Real Naughty, Lonnie Reed and Kelly Reed, husband and wife duo, came in third with 91.5 inches of fish. Our boys Nick Dieroff and Justin Ritchie came in fourth from Big Fin. They had 86 inches of fish. Roland Tide, which is the guys that came in with like 2 seconds to spare, that's Scott Harper and I believe it was George Cancel. They had 79.5 inches of fish in fifth place there. Sixth place was Team Mike and Steve, which is pretty easy. I think it was Firos and Steve Harbor. 79 inches of fish. They were off by, they missed sixth place by half an inch. So, I mean, some of these teams were real close. In fact, a couple of the teams tied, and the tiebreaker went to the guys who checked in first. In fact, that was your situation there, Alan, was you and Alex tied with Team Effin' Crazy.
They paddled by us under the bridge. They had the whatever they were, Hobies or whatever, because they passed us at the bridge.
Yeah, but Team Grip and Lips, I almost skipped Vicky. Seventh place was Team Grip and Lips. It was Vicky Saley and Mark Namovitz. And they had 77.5 inches of fish. Then that was that Team Effing Crazy that beat you guys to the ramp by 6 minutes. So there you go. People who say that the Hobies didn't have an advantage, well, there you go. They passed you guys and beat you to the ramp by 6 minutes. So with a total of 74 inches, you guys at Local Lines Charters came in ninth. Of course, again, Alan Rylan and Alex Gorichki. Did I say that right, Gorichki?
Yeah,
that's what I thought it was, 74 inches. And then rounding out the top 10, which was the last true place in the tournament, was Team Jackson Kayak with Steve Gibson and Alex, I'm going to butcher his last name, Tejeda, I believe it was, with 73 inches of fish. So that was pretty tight. 10th to 8th was separated by an inch. And then the remaining of those, the last few of those teams, Cape Hayes Rods was 11th. Team Real Kayak Fishing was 12th. This is the team right here that to me just absolutely impressed, I think, everyone who was there. Team Real Vikings. And that was Preston Haytack and John Gargano, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. They came in with a total of 63 inches of fish. That was the youngest team that competed in this tournament. And Preston's 17 years old. John is 16 years old. And, dude, they owned it. I mean, as far as for their age group, I mean, think about that for a second. You got guys like myself and Pappy and Alan and Rob and Justin and Nick and all these people who are, I would call, seasoned people, seasoned fishermen, who handled themselves in very adverse conditions very well. And then you've got these kids, basically. They're not even adults. I mean, true adults yet. Not even 18 years old yet, who came out and threw it down. And not only did they paddle very well, because I paddled alongside them for a long way, but they hit all five checkpoints, which is important to say, because it was hard to hit four checkpoints. Some teams didn't even hit the three checkpoints. And these kids hit all five checkpoints. And so that was pretty awesome. Kudos to Preston and his partner there, John. Even though you didn't place in the top 10, man, you still held it down. But I don't know what's that. That's just background noise from somebody. But and then who else? Let's see. Round out the 16. It was Westwall Boatworks, Treasure Coast Outbacks, and was it Bazinga? Cool. And then one team got disqualified for losing the token. That was Flats Broke. And then the rest of us didn't catch enough qualifying fish at enough checkpoints. And then there was three teams that didn't make it in on time. And Rob, unfortunately, you guys were one of them. Russ was one of them. And Rusty Driver and Jason Austin from Effing Crazy won, which is basically, actually, Effing Crazy 1, Effing Crazy 3 were two teams out of Louisiana. So, you know, those guys didn't come back in time. But, you know, it was fun. I mean, what else can you say about it? It was the most challenging, most demanding, exciting, physically exhausting, mentally exhausting thing fishing event I've ever been a part of. I really, really hope Native keeps this up, man. I really hope they do this again. It was just freaking awesome. Rob, what happened with you guys, man?
I'll find a way to be in pedals next time.
Yeah, I've already got that arranged.
The bell went off and
me and Gene and Chip and the Clone and the Loziers all got together. We got the maps out, and we plotted our courses for the day to figure out where the checkpoints were, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once we had everything loaded in the GPS, we didn't leave until like 7:15, you know. And I'm telling you, by the time we got down the canal and to the bridge, there was nobody to be found anywhere. So we get to the first checkpoint, had a bit of difficulty finding it, and because it was on the wrong island on the map, on our map. But that's okay. We found it. Gene immediately hooks up with a nice fish. You know, it was like a 17-inch trout. You know, we'll take that all day long. And she says, no, I want to stay and get a better fish. Okay, fine. Well, we stayed there for like an hour and a half. No biggie. Didn't get a better fish. If it was like a garbage can tournament, I would have been the man, dude, because I had like the biggest ladyfish she ever saw. And then later on, I got almost schooled by a jack. It was nuts. So anyway, in our strategy was she was working soft plastics. I was working top waters and Miradines.
Right.
And then we took off to checkpoint two, which was Jack Daniels for us. And we went out to the outside, the Jack Daniels key, and fished out there. We got on that flat with the black rocks. And Gene's like, okay, the tide just turned. Redfish are going to be here. You know, so we anchored up, and that's about when the wind started. And the wind was, like, blowing me off. It was blowing us off our anchors. So we took off. From there, we said, we got to get inside. I got a 17-inch trout in there. Lost a good redfish, like, back-to-back. And so we said, okay, we got a good fish. Let's go. You know, it was double inches. So we went back to the checkpoint. You know, of course, by that time we were inside, so we had to go all the way around Jack Daniels Key to get back to the checkpoint, which took a while. And we were fishing the whole time. See, Gene never wants to stop fishing, so I always got to be like, come on, we got to go. But that's okay. So we spent too much time there at that one. So we were going to go to the red checkpoint as our third, and, you know, the wind beat us up coming across the bay. We got to the then we were looking at the map and said, hey, listen, this looks like a mangrove tunnel right here. We can hit that, go right through. We didn't have to go through Sandfly Pass and all that stuff again. We could cut through and then be almost to checkpoint three, fish that for about an hour, and then head back in. Well, we got back there, went way out of the way to this shortcut, and the tide was too high for us to get through this mangrove tunnel. We tried, but we couldn't get through it, and so we had to fight our way through, you know, against the current all the way back out, and we just ran out of time.
Yeah, well,
we were in it up until we got to about, you know, until we couldn't reach our third checkpoint, and then it was over.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about this. It's probably the single most hardest thing about this tournament is figuring out where you're going to go.
My only I loved it and everything. I got the way it is. My only complaint, that's why I wish it was a 2-day event, is because you don't have enough time to fish in each area. You get to a spot, you fish. It seemed like freaking 45 minutes that we were fishing, and then, okay, we got to go. You know, it was like, it didn't seem that we had enough time to fish.
Yeah, to take you back on the Pepe, you know, what's funny is that when you launched at 7, and you know, when Nick and I were looking at things, we opened our map, and...
Whoa. You need a proper introduction there, mister.
Sorry,
I'm just come jumping in and just start talking. Hang on a second.
My bad. I felt better. Okay.
This guy over here, Mr. Justin Ritchie, came in fourth place with the team Big Fin, with along with his partner there, Nick. Now, go ahead and tell us your story there, Justin.
Well, Pepe was saying that, like, you know, it's funny. He's just like, you don't have enough time to fish. And when we started launching, like, you know, right when 7 o'clock hit, And John told all the guys, like, all right, everybody, open up your envelopes and look at the checkpoints. There were some guys that were just going straight into battle, like, go, go, marching their kayaks. You're going to, like, wing it as they get out there. And Nick wanted to sit still, and he's just like, let's look at the checkpoints. I mean, the whole week before, I had bought a map and had been studying, like, general go-to areas, like, what people normally fish in the Everglades. And it's funny because, you know, he kept saying, dude, we have 10 hours to fish. We're going to have plenty of time. And I kept getting all red in the face. I'm like, dude, you don't have enough time. I'm telling you right now, it's not easy to cross, like, you know, 18, 20 miles and hit all the spots. So, you know, I think the basics of what everybody tried to do for the tournament was you got to ride that tide. I mean, the winds are just kind of going to be against you the whole time, but the basics are if you have an outgoing tide till noon, you just kind of hit the spots from the top towards the bottom, and then once the tide switches, you just hit the other spots you didn't hit on the way back in. And, like, that makes sense, and, you know, when you do it, but when Nick and I got to our first spot, we fished the red checkpoint at first. We both didn't know how to fish the area. You know, we got out there, and I fished in Jacksonville before. I fished in Cedar Key a lot when I was in college, and the topography was very similar. You know, there's some current, there's a lot of little islands, there's a lot of oyster bars and scattered oysters here and there. But we probably spent 2 hours at the first checkpoint just because we were trying to figure it out. And once I figured out a pattern, I had lost a good red that was probably 22 or 23 inches up underneath a mangrove. Like, I hooked him. He was pulling me towards the mangrove, and I said, no, like, my tackle, they're my babies. I'm not going to break a rod for one fish, even if it is a tournament. So I had backpedaled with my paddle, and I lost him. But I ended up pulling out 18.5-inch snook, and 2 hours later, we're like, oh, crap, we're wasting too much time at spots. But I keyed in on a pattern. So I went to Sandfly Key for our second checkpoint. Same type of scenario, like an open bay with scattered oyster and mud, pulled out a 24-inch red, and by the time we got back to turn in our token, the tide had switched. We were already all the way up, and the wind was coming against us, the tide was coming against us, and Nick was like, what do you want to do, man? You want to go hit the other checkpoints? Like, I don't want to fight the wind and the tide. I pretty much looked him in the eyes and said, no, man, it's time to grow a pair. We are going to that double checkpoint. We are fighting it. Because, I mean, what, Rob, how many miles is it from Sandfly to the silver checkpoint from the double? Was it like 4 miles or 5 miles or something?
It was a mile and a half across that open piece of water between Sandfly. And so, yeah, it was about, I would say about two and a half maybe.
Oh, okay. It's not that bad. All right. I mean, it took all of an hour and 45 minutes against the wind and current to get from Sandfly to the double point checkpoint. And once we got there, you know, it's totally different because it's just one island and wind's blowing everywhere. And, yeah, you got Jack Daniel's Key and, you know, everybody's fishing something different. Everybody kind of went there thinking, you know what, I'm just going to get a trout or just get something and get the hell out of there. Because it was hell on water trying to find a place that was safe to fish and, you know, pull something out. Then I look ahead, and Chuck and Alan and Alex and Pepe, they're all, you know, they're doing the smart thing. Like, we're going to try to go into the wind. We're going to try to fish the tip of the island. We're going to fish an area that a lot of people aren't going to want to fight the fish. So, you know, I look to Nick. I'm like, we got to try to, you know, tuck up between some islands. And I hear Alex yelling from the top of his lungs, like, yeah, get some. And I'm like, what? Come over and find out you got a 22-inch fish. I was like, hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, that's something that's gonna put them up there. And I knew that Jack Daniel's, you know, that's an area that's kind of known for redfish. But the bottom is really unique. You know, like a lot of places had mud and had oysters. And you get up to Jack Daniel's and it's all this, like, black rock limestone thing. Like, I've never fished anything like that around the state before. It was really, really cool. And you learn, like, when you fished out in the middle part of that flat, you're throwing miradines and hard baits and stuff, you're going to get a ton of ladyfish and jacks and lizardfish and all kinds of things. But the minute you start working in tight to the island and in all those little trees that are there, you're going to start pulling out your better fish. So I lost a red that was probably, I don't know, at least 24 inches. I thought it was hung up, and they started swimming towards me. And I'm like, okay, game time. Like, I got to get something to pull out of there. And I kind of go pretty much to the exact area Alex went, like 30 minutes later, and hooked into a nice red. He starts running around all over the place and then runs back into the tree. My line snagged up on the tree, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, I need this fish. This is our third fish at the third spot. I got to get it. It's good fish. So I try to, like, figure out how my line's tangled. And I call Nick over. I'm like, Nick, you got to untangle my line. He's, like, trapped in the tree right now. And he's trying to grab the line, and I've got my bail open and my finger on the line. I'm feathering it, trying to, you know, see if he's still there. And the fish keeps taking off and keeps taking line. Any second he could have, like, cut off my braid. So I yell at Nick. I'm like, Nick, you got to get in the water. You got to save this fish. He's like, I'm not getting in. Man, there's oysters everywhere. I'm like, dude, you need to do it. Just park your kayak and get in. So I throw him my landing net, and he goes in and he parks his kayak, and he gets in the water and, like, follows the braid and wraps it out from underneath the tree. This is, like, 5 minutes this is happening. And he goes, and he's able to dip the redfish in the net with its still hooks wrapped up in this tree. Like, it ended up being, like, 21 and a half inches or something like that. It was
nice.
That was epic, man. Like, we had been riding out adrenaline for 6 hours. I thought I was going to lose my voice screaming so hard. But, man, the thing about the tournament, I think, was, you know, everybody knew it was going to be a challenge. And everybody said, okay, the wind's a challenge, the distance is a challenge, it's a navigational challenge. What I think was a challenge was there's half a dozen ways to catch quality fish out there. And everybody's going to implement their own techniques to catch quality fish. You know, everybody does something different to get good fish out there. There's not like, you know, just trying to figure out what situation works best at each spot. Every place was a little bit different. You know, there's not like, it's not like a normal tournament. You go to the honey hole, do the same technique, catch a fish, go way in. No, like, you got to change up your strategy at every different spot. So you just got to be a very well-rounded angler wherever you go.
Yeah. I need to work on that, apparently, because it didn't work out for me so hot. So, no, but it was, you're right. You're completely right. I mean, what worked at Jack Daniels didn't work over at the next checkpoint we hit, and what worked at the checkpoint before Jack Daniels didn't work at Jack Daniels. So, yeah. And by the way, of course, redfish like Jack Daniels key. I mean, come on. Like, really? Redfish, Chuck, redfish, Jack Daniels, whatever. But, you know, it was epic, dude. I mean, I told Woody, as soon as I come off the water, Woody asked me, hey, what would you do differently? And, you know, if there's anything you could change about the tournament, what would you do? And, you know, I didn't really have a whole lot for him. I think that there was without a doubt an advantage to those who had pedal drive. I mean, you can't say any other way than indeed they did have an advantage, because they were able to move much swifter than we were and be able to spend more time at each checkpoint and fish longer than we were.
Well, yeah, they were able to fish while they cover water. I mean, it's a give and take. I thought about it for a while, and I talked to Elliot, and I told him, like, hey, man, you're probably just zipping all over the place. And Elliot looks at me, and he's just like, man, my nads are so chafed, I don't even want to talk about it right now. He's like, that's the only disadvantage of a pedal drive is while we paddle, you know, our upper body gets tired, but for them, everything's chafing, rubbing together over and over and over and over because everything's so tight. They're just like, you know, it has its give and takes. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the pedal craft people, they were able to cover a lot more water. You're right. They were able to cast while they're heading from spot to spot. I wonder how shallow they could get. You know, I was bumping bottom in some areas I was fishing, and I'm sure with a paddle craft or a pedal craft, like, probably couldn't get in between all those oysters. You probably hit something or snag something or spook fish.
Well, I mean, the thing about it, and I think this is where, you know, I was thrown for a loop, was Friday we spent, what would you guys say, probably the majority of the day, like, in chutes and in real hard current, and I mean, we were in a lot tighter of areas all day long when we were fun fishing on Friday than I don't think we spent any time in anything like that on Saturday. I mean, what do you think, Alan? I mean, am I wrong by saying that, or?
No, go ahead.
You know, because I guess my point is, If there were checkpoints, like, five was a good example, the first one, the red one, whatever you want to call it, was a good example of it being skinny, because when you guys got there, the tide was dropping and it was falling fast, and the oyster bars are almost, all, if not already exposed, almost exposed. And, you know, that would have made it tough for guys with pedals. But the way we went, which was all the way the opposite direction, and we hit, you know, the ones going up and around and all the way across the back first, there was I never came across one spot where I couldn't have made it through with a full pedal stroke, you know what I'm saying? And it was interesting. I mean, I agree with you. There is a fatigue factor for sure when using pedals. But when you, when you're sitting there and you're paddling with all you got to get against the current, and you look over and Mark Namowitz is flying like he's on, like he's got a motor on the back of the damn thing, and Vicky's right there with him, and you're just like, holy crap! Like, I promise, like Pepe said, there, and Alan said it too. There's a point where I was just like, I would do anything right now for a set of pedals, because it just it looks so effortless.
Yeah, and on top of it, Vicky stated it on the forum, and it's true, and the advantage is you could be pedaling and fishing at the same time.
Yeah.
Hands-free.
Yeah, you could be pedaling up current and throwing the rod at the same time.
Yeah, so, you know, the one thing I told Woody that it wouldn't hurt my feelings, and I'm not saying this because I would be, you know, worried about any one person beating me or whatever, because obviously I just don't care, but... if they separated the pedal drives from the paddle division, I think it might open up, you know, for more registrants, because if I know next year going down there that it's going to be the same basic format, I'm taking a Hobie. Jackson can be mad at me if they want to, but I'm taking a Hobie down there because, in my opinion, for my style of fishing, which is I like to be able to take time to really figure out where the hell I'm at, and I didn't know, I really didn't do a lot of pre-research or whatever. I think that for me, the pedal system would have worked a lot better for me than paddling my butt off and trying to make it happen that way. I mean, obviously, the pedals weren't the complete answer, because one of the top team, the top team that won, only one guy had pedals. And then the second place
Billy
team.
Alstrom, I think. What did Billy have? Did Billy have a Jackson Cuda?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He had a Cuda, and the kid flat out fished everybody, hit all the spots, made it back like 30, 40 minutes for everybody else. So, you know.
But that's crazy. That in itself is crazy to me. Like, I would have loved to have had a video camera on his shoulder to just witness how fast that kid paddled, or how he navigated his way to all five checkpoints and got back like 25 minutes before everybody else. Because
that kid weighs 100 pounds wet.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he weighed 100 pounds wet.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll just say this, you know, because I know it's briefly talked about in times here and there, and I wouldn't, you know, you can't even think about this in this tournament. At other tournaments throughout a year, every now and again, you hear some people say, oh, so-and-so cheated, they got fished. You cannot do that in this tournament, you know. You don't know where you're fishing beforehand. You've never done it. The kid's not even local. He didn't even have a pedal craft. It's just like, it's proof that, damn, you know, your hard work, blood, sweat, and tears, and just straight grit got you to the, you know, to the head of the line. It's like,
yeah, no doubt. There was a guy on Facebook that tried to talk trash about their team, and I'm not even going to give that guy any time as far as his name is concerned on my show, but he had some things to say about the fact that he heard that they weren't at the captain's meeting. He heard that they launched prior, and I'm like, what do you mean you heard? Like, you can't even speculate. You shouldn't even call anybody out like that unless you were there, which I was there, and I saw them at the captain's meeting, and I saw them when they launched in the morning. So, you know, it is what it is. They just flat destroyed everybody. I mean, the guys are just crazy talented, and, I mean, what else can you say about it? But
The guys, like Chuck is saying, the guys who won it are legit guys. Those guys, it's not their first rodeo, I'll tell you that. Those guys have won tournaments before. I mean, those guys are legit guys, and those guys showed up with what they caught. I mean, those guys could fish.
We saw them catch
them. They were whooping on everybody.
We saw them catch fish. They were right next to us, like literally, like I could have spit and hit the one kid in the forehead. Like he was pretty close to us, and you know, he come paddling by, and the funny part was right before he caught the big snook, he come paddling by and he told us, he's like, don't forget to put your token in the picture because I just forgot to do that with a 24-inch redfish.
Yeah.
So he even caught a redfish that didn't even count at 24 inches, which kept him in that area, and he went right back to where he just caught that redfish and pulled the snook. And that's the thing about tournament fishing that I love so much, is there's the unpredictability factor of, you know, you never really know who's going to win these things. And these guys did their homework. These guys knew what the heck they were doing. They had the right gear. They had the right lures. They used the right presentation, and they owned it. I bet you they didn't spend. There's no way they could have spent more than 30 minutes at each checkpoint.
Yeah.
There's no way. And to be able to pull up to a spot, get a token, paddle away from it, catch not only a fish but a quality fish in less than 30 minutes at each checkpoint is just, dude, those guys blew my mind. Like, mad respect to them. I mean, that bar that they just set is going to be a hard one to break for tournaments to come as far as the numbers of what they brought in. Because
I think we can all say, you know, Woody's intent of making this tournament was to show what kayakers can do. And we all can agree, like, that all sets the bar. You know, I think that is the most challenging thing any kayaker could have done. And if you can do that, you pretty much, you know, no bounds after doing it.
Well, and a good example of that is they caught quality fish at five spots. They made it back in like crazy time before anybody else. And like Rob and Gene, for instance, they only had time to hit two checkpoints. Like,
yeah.
That just,
well,
I
that
mean,
was our own fault, dude. We just spent too much time at the two checkpoints fishing.
But that's what I'm saying. That's part of the strategy, part of this tournament that Woody develops that is like nothing else that's out there. There's no tournament, I don't care who puts it on, I don't care what species it's after, that puts you through basically, I'll call it out, hell for 10 hours. And at the end of the day, when you come back, you hear the stories of, you know, this guy pulled up to a spot and he'd never been there before. He threw, you know, worked a bait, but he saw like an edge, or, you know, found an oyster bar and fished the backside because he had a feeling there'd be a fish there and caught a fish there. That's like when me and Pepe got to the second, the outside one. I don't remember which one that was, but the far out one before
the green one.
The green one. And we were paddling away from that. Alan and Alex went one way. Pepe and I went another way. And we're working this flat, and I'm like, we just weren't feeling it. You know, it wasn't there. And I glanced over at the shoreline, and I saw a cut over way off of the shoreline. And at this point, I was already starting to feel it. So I was like, I really don't know if I want to paddle over there. So I finally said to Pepe, I said, dude, we need to go over there. And it was that instinctual, you know, it just looked fishy. We got to go check it out. And it worked out for us. We didn't have nothing on the board at that point. And we went there. Pepe caught, what, like a 16-inch trout right off the bat. And then I snuck up onto a flat that was right behind that island that we went to, and I caught a 22-inch redfish. And it was just like that kind of thing that it brings that part of the fisherman out in you. It brings – you have to use instincts more so than looking at a map. I mean, while looking at a map is all well and good, and, you know, you look at something and you're like, well, there should be fish there. The messed up thing about that place down there is there's a lot of bushes. There's a lot of trees. There's a lot of crap in the water where there should be fish. And you fish the crap out of it, and you spend time flipping underneath branches and flipping to these logs or whatever, or these oyster bars, and you don't pull nothing out. And you scratch your head, and then all of a sudden, like, a light bulb goes off in your head, and you look at a spot, and you're like, God, there's got to be a fish laying there. And you throw in there, and boom, you get that hit, and it's just like reward,
yeah,
success, the whole thing. And Friday,
gospel, man. That's like, you know, heaven, clouds parting and heaven hits, and you're just like, dude, I fucking did it. All the pieces added up, and it just happened. You know, it's like,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that was like for me on Friday, was like the best deal for me ever, because, you know, I had one goal going down there, and that was just to have a great time, catch a bunch of fish. I could have cared less if Pepe and I placed anywhere. It didn't really matter to us. When we both agreed upon that on the way down, let's just go down and have fun. Because we had such great support from our sponsors, it was basically a free event for us. So, I mean, we didn't have anything really to lose, and we didn't really have anything to gain too much. We had everything to gain, I guess, is what I should have said. But on Friday, I just wanted to catch a slam. And, you know, it was tough going to start with. And then all of a sudden, I found a spot, and I looked at it. I'm like, man, there's got to be a snook laying there. And I flip up underneath the tree, and boom, there's my snook. I had just caught a redfish earlier. I just needed a trout, and then I throw over, and I got a trout. And it was, like, over by an island. And I worked this one island while Alex and Alan went one direction, and Pepe was kind of lagging back a little bit, fishing this other spot. I fished this one island until Pepe came around the corner for like 45 minutes, and it was the island that held fish. I caught like 20 fish off this one island. And Pepe, when he pulled up, you did too. You just started wailing on him as soon as you pulled up. It was just, I don't know, man. It's killer, you know. And I told Woody the other part of it would be to make it a two-day event and add a camping factor into it to where we have to go out to the outer islands, camp out there on some of those outer islands, hit three checkpoints the first day, which would give you much more time to fish and better your fish. And then the second day, come back in, hitting three more checkpoints, giving you plenty of time, giving you basically 10 hours to hit three more checkpoints. So, you know, I think that would be a really cool element to the tournament, and really give us a lot of time to figure the area out. You know what I'm saying? Maybe even do something like crazy ridiculous where you have to go from, say, Chokoloski to Flamingo. That would be cool. But, you know, either way.
That's a long week, man.
Yeah, we can do that, though, in the course of, like, a three-day weekend or something, dude. If you start the tournament on, like, a Friday and you end the tournament on a Sunday. If you think about it, dude, what we paddled in 2 days, we paddled, like, roughly 38 miles. My count was about 38 miles for 2 days. If you did that in a straight line, basically, and just worked the outside edges of the islands, I mean, you're not that far off. You know what I'm saying? For 2 days. So I think your third day, you can conceivably get there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
My other thing also, the other thing that I was thinking is that whole thing of the check. I mean, I know Woody's going to ask for, he's going to ask for opinions. He already started to on certain things about the tournament and everything, what you thought about and everything. But the whole thing of checking in at these checkpoints that they give you the token, I think maybe the whole thing of turning the token back in should be taken out, and maybe at the end of the tournament, when you finish at the end of the day, you better have all your tokens on you.
Well, the reason they do that
is for safety, because if you notice, they were timing us in and out when we were doing that, and I think it would be more of a safety thing if somebody doesn't come back in, you know, like, where was the last place they checked in, you know?
I think the other thing too is to keep people honest, because I mean, if you turn a guy loose with, let's just say, the green token, and he goes over to the silver area, and in between the green token and the silver area, you know, he betters his fish near the silver area because he knows the fishing's going to be better out there, and he takes the picture with the fish with the green token that he didn't get over at the green spot, then, you know, you can't regulate that. You know what I'm saying? There's no way of knowing where he caught that fish between that checkpoint and the next checkpoint. Or even if he's sitting at the next checkpoint and he catches a fish that's not quite as good as the fish that he caught at the previous checkpoint, but it's better than the fish that he's got current. You know what I'm saying? Does it make sense? Like,
yeah,
if he,
no, you're
if
right,
he
you're right. It does open a door for cheating. It does open it up.
Yeah, because if he's got a pocket full of tokens, you know, and he's sitting on a spot where he's busting 20-something inch fish one after another, and all he has to do is just go through his pocket full of tokens and retake pictures of fish with different tokens, you know what I'm saying? Delete the old ones, put
right.
in new ones, and, you know.
I didn't even think of that.
And I think that the way that they did it, and we got to remember this, too, and this is, like, the most impressive part about it, is Woody and John are whitewater guys. they're not fishermen. They admit that they're not fishermen. They're like, I don't know nothing about it, you know. They put on an event that was basically, it was almost cheat proof. Like, how could you have cheated? There was too many kayakers around for you to use cut bait or live bait. Somebody would have seen you because you're surrounded by kayakers almost all day. And then not knowing where we're going and all that kind of thing and having to have the tokens and the way that they did it was brilliant. You know, I mean, it was, again, it was like the planets all aligned and the moon was right and the tides were perfect. And Woody and John came up with this great idea to do this event and pulled it off. And, you know, all you can say is kudos to those guys for sure, man, because I didn't hear one person that was there say anything negative about the event. Everybody had nothing but good things to say about it. And if you went down there and you personally didn't have a good time, then it's your own fault. Because I know we had a damn good time. I mean, we had probably better time than anybody else. I mean, at one point on the way back, we're singing show tunes and we're like quoting movies and we're getting our butts handed to us by the bay and, you know, singing Disney songs to each other like a bunch of weirdos and, you know, whatever. It was just a lot of fun. And then at the awards ceremony, you know, our table obviously was the loudest one. It always is. Cheering for each other and hooting and hollering for Vicky and Mark and Justin and Nick and Alan. And, dude, how crazy is that we had out of the top 10, five out of the top 10 teams were from Central Florida. Like,
that's representing right there.
Dude, that's awesome. Pro staff, dude. Pro staff. that's just legit, man. I mean, there's nothing you can't even, like, I don't even know. And the messed up thing about it is none of us fish tides.
Dude, that was another thing I was going to say, man. Like, props to Justin and Nick and all you guys for, you know, you guys don't know what to do with tides and all that stuff. And I think you all did pretty good, man. But let me ask you this, Chuck. What'd you think about the film crew? Every time you turned around, there was somebody sticking a camera in your face.
Dude, those guys.
Worse than me at a boondoggle. Dude, just a quick story. I'm sitting there and I threw my topwater up in a tree, you know. And I'm, like, over there trying to get it out, and the current's, like, pushing my boat sideways. And now my other rod is in the rod holder, and it's getting hung up in the tree. I mean, it just looks like a cluster. It's turning into a disaster, you know. So next thing you know, I hear this voice behind me, hey, you having some trouble there? And I turn around, and it's the film guy in a Mariner, you know. And he's sitting there, and he's got the camera, and I'm like, really? I mean, you know, I was trying to be nice, but I was like,
no, those guys did a great job. Yeah, those guys did a great job. And what was more impressive than anything else to me about that whole situation was you just came in to the check-in and they had already uploaded a video of you from being out at Jack Daniel's with Gene. You and Gene's little interview out of Jack Daniel's Key was put on YouTube before you were even, like, showered and edited, because they had to actually edit it to put, you know, words with it and everything else. And, I mean, they were on it. Like, I've never seen anything like that at a tournament setting ever. And I've fished offshore tournaments again. Like I said, I fished boat tournaments. I fished tournaments that I'm talking lots and lots of money is at stake, and I've never seen anything like that. It was absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, totally kudos to those guys, man. I mean, they busted their tails, man. They really did. And I know a lot of those guys aren't fishermen or boat savvy or whatever. And for them to be able to not only control a camera, but get out there and pedal around in a kayak against the current and do pretty much what we did, except not fish, was pretty awesome. So, yeah, definitely kudos to them. Whatever. But I don't know, man. Like we were talking about it on the ride home a little bit, and actually that night at the bar we were talking about it, and I would love to get back down there again, just not even for the tournament, just to get back down there again and spend like a weekend down there just fishing. Maybe camp out on one of those islands on the outside and just kind of soak it all in, man, because the time we were down there went by way too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I mean, 10 hours goes by like that. Like, looking back on it, it's just...
Yeah, which was even more impressive to me, dude, is that the fact that you, Justin and Nick, you guys showed up and I mean, you literally showed up after the captain's meeting, which you already had that pre-approved from Woody. And you, like, rolled in, tired as all get out. You guys hung out like champs, you know, that night for a little while. And then next thing you know, you guys are up and you come back with a fourth place finish, like,
you know what that makes me, what that makes me think of right now is, I don't know if D's still in the chat room or not, but I remember going to the No Motor Zone prepping for the Car Spark tournament. And John and I have been fishing intensely, and we did all our P's and Q's and get there on time, throwing all these different lures, made it about three-quarters of the way to Buck Creek, and Dee had been there like an hour before us, and she was paddling back down. And it was Dee and Jim came by, and we just said, hey, and they're like, who's that? And I was like, it's Justin. He goes, oh, hey, what's up, Justin? Oh, hold on, I got a fish on. She pulls on like a 23, 24-inch fish. She's like, all right, see ya. She just comes out of nowhere, sweeps the floor, is like, all right, I'm out. That's kind of what it felt like, you know, like it was just kind of surreal not having done everything to the T and just show up and do what everybody does and just get lucky. It's just, it's the way I say it, like, success is preparation plus luck. That's all it is, really. You only control one part of it. The other part is just, you know, just instinct, and it's just going to kind of happen. That's all.
Well said. Well said indeed. But, you know, it was cool, again, just to watch my boys from my group there, Space Coast Kayak Anglers, just kind of owning it that day, especially Alan. I was proud of Alan because I rode Alan pretty hard on Friday about not catching nothing. Or he caught fish, but he only caught a couple. What'd you say?
I said real hard.
No, come on, man. I only yelled out your name every time I hooked a fish. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. That just inspired me for the next day.
I'm sure it did, and I'm glad that I could have been your inspiration to whoop my butt the next day, too. And, you know, Peppy and I definitely appreciate that. You know, that keeps us all grounded. So.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to give a little credit to Alex, too. I mean, he did a lot of the map reading and, kind of leading us around a little bit and, stopping, looking at the map, trying to get Alex, an Eagle Scout. Yeah, he did a great job. I mean, he basically just, he used his phone a little bit just to kind of get position and, basically worked off, we picked up a map in the store there by where we were staying and stuff like that. But, just to open that thing up the next morning and, for us to come up, I think we had a great plan. You know, we hit the outside spots. We played the tides right. That wind in between the second and third spot, I think, was our only handicap because that really ate up a lot of time where we could have probably hit that fifth checkpoint. And then on the double point checkpoint, up to that point, I'd caught the 16-inch trout at the first checkpoint. The second checkpoint, I caught a 14-inch trout. You know, we needed one more fish basically to complete our three checkpoints. And we got to the third checkpoint. I had about a probably, 13, maybe 14-inch trout in the boat, ready to measure, ready to photo. We're getting set up to do it. And it's laying there nice and calm. It flips one time, shoots across the back of my boat, and in the water. And that would have been our third fish. And I was just sick. I was ready to launch my TFO CI-4 combo across that bay. And Alex, he's like, look, dude, suck it up, forget it, keep fishing, just forget about it. You know, he basically talked me down, kept my head, and 10 minutes later, he lands that 22-inch redfish. I mean, that was probably maybe a blessing I lost that fish. We might have just called it and moved on. And, he nailed that 22-inch red, and that was our third fish at the third checkpoint. So from then on out, it was just, trying to add more length to our total at the next two checkpoints if we would have made the fifth one. But, I think all of us, all four of us fishing together kind of helped each other out and kept each other going through a lot of the harder part of that stuff. But, Alex,
You know, he was a great partner. You know, I know he's not on here right now, but I got to give him credit. He, you know, I don't fish a lot of tournaments. He's fished a bunch, so he's kind of got an idea how they work. And you know, I appreciate what all you guys did.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, dude. On Friday when we fished, I couldn't believe that he was able to navigate us home.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, everywhere we went, it was like we were just literally all over the place. And, you know, probably my personal highlight from the entire weekend was jumping the log. not going to lie. Like,
yeah.
when you take kayak fishing to the level of doing acrobatics in the air and, you know, that's like really extreme sports right there. That's like next level stuff. That's pro stuff.
That's like borderline with planking, Chuck. Like that's
it
like
is pretty. It's pretty close. It's pretty close. But when you launch yourself off of, you should have just seen my face. Like you guys didn't even see my face when I was about to hit it. Like I probably had like the worst expression on my face ever because it was like one of those where you're like closing your eyes real tight, hoping it doesn't hurt, or you don't end up in the water. Because I literally had nowhere to go, and I kept putting myself in those positions on Friday. But man, I love that place down there. And again, man, what a great job everybody did. I mean, everyone who came out from Native to put this tournament together, all the sponsors that helped out in doing so as well. You know, I'm talking. You had the Kayak Fishing Store, Kayak Angler Magazine. Heroes in the Water, Smith Optics, Cocotat, and there's another one I'm missing. I can't remember which one it was, but Benny Branch's paddles or whoever else like donated the paddles and stuff, the Life Vest and all that kind of stuff. It was just killer, man. And I don't know, you know, I was talking with some of the Native guys and they were asking, you know, what do you think about the size of the tournament? How many teams do you think we should limit it? Do we should cap it? And you know what? 33 teams on the water in a situation like that is a lot of kayaks. Because when you go to, like, when we were at the first checkpoint, we were literally at one time, like, surrounded. And I went over to an edge where there was some oysters, and I literally had people, like, paddle between me and the shoreline. And it was, I'm talking, Pepe, how close were they? Like, 2 feet from me?
Yeah, that guy was getting the guy passed right by you. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there, and you're flipping the rod out and fishing, and this guy paddles like right next to you. And I was like, whoa, did this guy just really just come by you like that?
Yeah, he said, I heard him say he was sorry, though, so it was all okay.
Yeah, well, that's after I threatened to throat punch him. Well, but, you know,
it's like the first checkpoint when you told me, Chuck, and on the first checkpoint, then when we were sitting at the checkpoint and you start laughing, I go, what? And you told me, I feel like I'm in Boca Grande.
I did. I felt like I was in Boca Grande getting ready to set up on a tarpon drift.
Yeah, that's what you yelled
like,
out.
That shit on the blue, is that Chanel Blue? That smells good.
Chanel Blue, yeah. It's, man, what are you wearing? You know, no. It was interesting, but you know what? Like I said before, man, anytime that you go to a tournament, you know, preparation's good. You got to have it. You got to have a game plan or whatever. There is a level of skill involved in winning something like this. There's a lot of luck that comes along with it as well. Just happen to be at the right place at the right time to find the fish, especially on a tidal type situation. And when you're talking about everything you pass as a mangrove shoreline, to be able to pitch a bait to the right spot to find that snook that's hanging underneath a ledge or hanging underneath a branch is pretty awesome. And it's remarkable to see the skill level of us guys in plastic boats. And I'll throw myself and Pepe in there and everybody who competed in this thing, because if you went out and you paddled this event, regardless whether or not you came back in with fish and placed or didn't place, that in itself is like to me a huge accomplishment to just to be able to get through this type of an event. And you know, I wouldn't have wanted to do it any other way as far as, you know, sharing the experience with my boys. And it was really, really cool, man. I mean, I say that in the future, even if Woody doesn't do something like this again, and God, I hope he does, somebody needs to come along and pick up off of this, because it's just way too cool to not do it again, you know. We might even just need to do a little, like, BS adventure fishing, nothing. We'll call it the Space Coast Kayak Angling World Championships or some craziness, because we can put together, like, just a fun little tournament on a weekend, one weekend, and do kind of the same thing where maybe I'll just sit out and I'll just map out an area and give you guys maps and be like, all right, it's a single man thing. Go find new spots and, you know, not tokens and that kind of thing, but you have to go and retrieve something else, you know, set it up or whatever, just for fun. Cause it definitely brings a completely different element into the tournament situation than anything else. Anybody can go out and you say go and be back in 10 hours. Anyone can go out and paddle around for 10 hours and come back with a handful of fish. But to navigate it the way that you had to do it and strategize, you know, which direction you're going to go. And, man, we talked to some people, at least I did. I talked to some people that went the route you guys went, Justin and Rob, where you guys hit the red checkpoint first, and they were hating life when they were at the silver one, because they're like, man, do we even bother to go to the other two on the other side over by Chokoloski? Do we bother to cross that bay, even though the wind's going to be at our backs, you know? That's a long paddle, and I'm laughing. I'm like, you think that would be a long paddle? Like, paddle into it. You know what I'm saying? But, nah, man, it was great. I'm kind of bummed that Woody didn't call in tonight, because I would have loved to have heard from him, but I'm sure we'll hear them tomorrow night on the Double L show. But here I am, man. It's 9:21, and I'm about 20 minutes. What's up?
Hey, real quick, if anybody listening or knows anybody or any of you guys have a I'm one short of a complete set of tokens by one green, if anybody's got an extra, love to have it.
No, man, I got red, silver, and black, my bad.
Okay.
I'll see if we can't round one up for you. You need a green one, you said?
Yeah, just need a green. I'll have all
right.
Five.
We'll see if we can round one up for you. I'm right. Sure I can. I think I may have
I
a green one.
Chuck, I know we're all ducking out and calling the end of the show. I just want to give out a big shout-out to our partners in the tournament. Because, you know, it's the yin and yang thing, and Pepe offered stuff you didn't offer, and we, you know, it definitely needs to be a team tournament. So I give a shout-out to Nick if he's listening or if he's out there or something. I know you probably want to say, you know, your thing with Pepe and Alex, you want to say your thing to Alan, you want to say it to Alex and whatnot.
Yeah, no, of course. You know, whenever you agree to set up and do a fish a tournament like this, your partner is more than just your right hand guy, you know, or the guy you're hoping to rely on to help you catch fish if you're not doing it. He's really like your survival blanket, so to speak, to where, man, you start getting down about the paddle or whatever. Like, I kept yelling at Pepe saying, "Odale!" and like, come on, Cuban, and all this stuff to him and trying to get him like all pumped up, and there, I don't think there was any level of pep talk that was going to make a battle any faster there towards the end. But no, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, it's dedication, and it's tough, man. It can be trying too. That's the thing. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, like, Pepe wanted to hang back at the first one for a little bit and fish it, and I really wasn't into it, and I kind of got a little frustrated, and I didn't want to like be like, no, dude, like, come on, we're leaving. But, you know, we had spent some time there, and it was time to move on. So, yeah, it's definitely it's not a single person event. And regardless of who caught what or who didn't catch what, I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah, good call on that one, man.
It's all yin and yang. You know, like, I wanted to go to, Nick kept me level-headed. If it wasn't for him keeping me level-headed, I probably couldn't focus. So, you know, I feel you on that.
You had ninja focus, my friend. Ninja focus. And
I didn't
to be able to
like 5 ants, man. I was ready to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be able to come out and again, for everybody who fished it and just competed in it and went out and did it. I mean, look at Chip. Chip and his son went out there in a canoe. The two of them went out there.
Did? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they went out there and we were in a canoe together. And so Chip paddled while the clone casted and fished. And Chip was like, I was talking to him earlier on the phone. He's like, yeah, I was paddling and I was, you know, keeping the boat going in one direction and the clone was casting, you know, so it worked out pretty good. I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking to myself, Chip, don't lie to yourself. You know when you were coming across that bay in a canoe that, you know, the last thing in your mind was how well the day went. Like, you're thinking about, oh, my God, are we going to make it across? Because I looked back at one point at, I think it was Dee and her fiance, and I thought they were going to go under because they're both in the Ultimates. And an Ultimate's not exactly a seafaring vessel. You know, Pepe was bad enough on the Diablo that's basically like a surfboard to just take waves over the nose of that thing the whole way. But, I mean, crazy. When you think about how far we paddle. Oh, here's the quote, and we'll end on this. This is the quote of the entire event. Alan Ryland gets the quote of the entire event. Alan says, Buck Creek ain't crap. He goes, the next time I go to the motor zone, I'm going to paddle with a spoon.
What?
Yeah, so for those of you guys that don't know, guys, we got listeners from all over the country and all over the world that listen to us on these silly shows. For those of you who don't understand what we're saying, in years past, and actually up until this weekend, if you made that paddle from Cars Park to Buck Creek, which is about 4 miles one way, and then you made the paddle back, you usually end up getting caught in the wind coming back, and it feels like a 10-mile paddle. So Alan's saying that the Buck Creek paddle now is no longer going to be an issue because we did 38 miles in 2 days. And then he's going to do it with a spoon. I'm holding him to that, by the way. I'm going to get you a little wooden spoon. I'll get you two of them, and I'm going to tape them together. And you can roll them between your fingers and use them like a kayak paddle. And
it'll be in my tuna, too, not the cuda.
No, but that's awesome, man. I mean, that was... Actually, you know what? I'm going to throw out it. No, I won't even do that to Pepe because there was another quote from Alan that was epic when we got back to the hotel and we noticed there was coconuts and a palm tree near us. But but anyway, no, listen, in all seriousness, thank you so much to Nate. Say what?
And Alan taking a picture of me while I'm
you fighting,
you know, taking a little break.
Yeah. Alan.
They do it all.
Yeah, there you go. But
that picture's worth money.
Yeah,
it is worth money.
It'll come in handy one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I say, thank you so much to Native Watercraft, Woody, and John for putting this thing on and totally flipping the game as far as kayak tournaments on its head, because nobody can touch. No one can touch what went down this past weekend. I got 90 seconds left, so let me make this short and sweet. All the sponsors from all the teams that helped them out to get to where they were, to get them down there to help out and to fish and have a great time. Thank you to all of you. Thank you to all of my personal sponsors and Pepe's sponsors, Steve Chapman from Fishing Florida Radio, and the guys, Mike Ortigo and Boudreaux, Tackle Webs. I mean, we couldn't have went down there without any of you guys. Chad Hoovers and those guys of the world that made it all possible for other people to make it there, man. It was awesome. That's it. That's all I got, man. So tune into tomorrow night's show with the Double L crew. Wednesday night will be Wheeler's Low Sodium show, and then Thursday night is Chip Gibson's show. And with that, I'm out. Everybody, thanks for calling in. Congratulations, Justin and Alan and your partners there. And Rob DeVore, thanks for being there, man. We had a great time with you as always. Pepe, man, thanks for being my partner in crime and having a good time. And with that, I'm out. Kids,
all right.
Go to sleep. All right. Daddy's late.
Night.
Yeah, man. Everybody, tight lines. God bless. And take a kid fishing, man. They're the future of our sport. See ya.
Nice. See you guys.